Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, everybody? I am with Chris Connor, the one and only Impatient Bull, and we are going to get into it. Chris, all season long, you and I have had this running inside conversation about five-game win streaks in the New Orleans Pelicans. And this goes back years, really.
Yeah.
Because in the last 5 years of this rebuild, a five-game winning streak has been a very rare thing for the New Orleans Pelicans. They've had two in the last 5 years. Two. A seven-game winning streak and a five-game winning streak both last season. And as we went into this last road trip and ending with tomorrow's finale, the Pelicans, coincidentally, ironically, all the stars aligned in such a manner that the one way they could be assured of avoiding the play-in for a third straight season was by winning five straight games. And so now here we are at the nexus of all five game streaks as the Pelicans have won four in a row in convincing fashion, now leading two. And again, it could not be scripted any better to be playing the season finale in the Smoothie King Center against LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Los Angeles Lakers. Chris, where do we even start?
Man, first, man, as always, brother, happy to be on the show. Look, sixth seed on the line here. We're talking play-in versus, having a chance to be the sixth seed. We're talking 50 wins, like. It's a lot here that's kind of at stake outside of it, but it's just funny that it all meets at five win streak road. Like, you know, a road that the Pelicans have always struggled to travel down. You know, like you said, it got two lights, you know, on this road for like 40 miles. All right. For whatever reason, they get close and it just does not happen. And you name it, any kind of loss you could think of. And what's crazy to me, and you talked about it a lot, all of the random teams that have won five straight or more over the years. But for them to be in a situation, Brandon Ingram returning or seeming like he's going to return Sunday. Now they have travel issues again. There's just so many funny things about this franchise, this team being in this situation, the history all up, you know, behind it, but what it all can mean just in one game.
It's the biggest game since they've been the New Orleans Pelicans. It just as a home game to me, because even the year that they were six and they were going against the Blazers, you know, everything was so close that year. I think we all were real confident, like they should beat the Blazers. Going into that, like it was a weird run to the end and everything, and they had a long winning streak to close the season. But at the same time, there was also this underlying current of what could have been because you'd already lost Boogie and all these things, and what might be is Anthony Davis here for the long haul. Well, you're in a similar position with all these things kind of right now. You got a Pelicans team that before Willie Green, it's the last 20 games. I'm going to give you this stat because you know I love to look at these historical trends. The 2 years before the Pelicans, before Willie Green, Pelicans finished the last 20 games 9-11, 8-12. the 3 years with Willie, 10-10 that first year when they made it into the play-in and got to the playoffs. You know, that was after a big trade. Last year, 12-8, but, you know, still improving. This year, if they win tomorrow, it's 13-7. So again, we're seeing that kind of progress. We had never seen Zion Williamson play meaningful games in his career. We have never seen it. And over the last four games, Zion Williamson has been every bit of the number one overall pick that you wanted him to be. The CJ McCollum, just his ascendance as, okay, I got to be number two. I'm going to play almost like a number one. And he's been giving you 30 points every night, 7 threes a game over the last four games. It's just been ridiculous from CJ. And I think that, you know, we have learned so much about this team. And yet, like you said, there's with Brandon coming back, you still have so much to learn about this team. But the way you want to learn it is not by going through the play-in for a third straight year. That no matter what, that's going to feel like a failure. No matter what, going back to that play-in for a third year is going to feel like a failure. Getting that 50th win, getting that sixth seed, and securing it on your home floor where you have struggled all year, where winning at home has been the most difficult thing to do. You've done everything else well this season.
Yeah.
You can't win on your home floor. And it's this team against the Lakers who seemingly are also built to do what you don't do well. You know, like everything is here for the Pelicans to prove. Do you guys deserve a long-term investment? Because this is where you take what you want. You can't back into this one. You can't hope that somebody loses tomorrow. It's not going to, even if somebody does and that's how they get in, it will not feel the same for this organization, for this fan base, for anyone covering this team, for them to back in that way.
It's the moment, Grub. You know, we talk so, you know, you mentioned about Zion and us not really being able to see him play in meaningful games since he's been in the NBA. Well, what is sandwiched with that is seeing him close meaningful games in the NBA. And we've finally gotten a chance to see that. And he's been on quite a stretch here and learning about himself. And you look at the Pelicans, like they have the chance to close something, close a chapter. And, you know, if you go a week ago after the San Antonio loss, an unlikely chapter. You know, a lot of us thought we will be having different discussions. But there's so many individuals, man, that have had individual strides as of late, even going, if you just want to use your 20-game sample size. So many individual guys, you know, Trey Murphy and his ability to kind of figure out how to be more aggressive and more focused when it comes to rebounding the basketball and whether his shot is falling or not. Some of the strides that I think he's been taking defensively that hasn't been talked about as much as, say, a Dyson Daniels, who's also taking strides. We know the season that Herb is having shooting as an individual. We just talked about Zion, but the strides defensively to where, you know, I think he is catching up. Like he's changing his reputation defensively in a matter of what, I mean, you might say half a season or even a quarter of a season, you know, to where I'm listening to the Golden State broadcast for like a quarter or so, you know, and they're saying, you know, look, if you're such and such, I don't think it was Steph, but I think it was Andrew Wiggins. You want to take advantage of Zion on the perimeter. And then I'm watching at the end of the game, and Zion is still moving on a back-to-back. We're playing 40 minutes after playing 31 the previous night. He's moving around like it's still the first quarter, making plays, finishing the game with 6 steals. But it's the moment. You needed every one of those steals. You needed him to look Draymond Green in the eye. And while he didn't shoot efficiently, just continue to hammer away, find different ways to persevere through. And this team, this organization, It's the same thing. Having an opportunity to, as simple, as silly as it is, winning 5 straight, But after winning, doing it in an unlikely manner, like you said, doing something, you struggled a little bit at home. You struggled in some big games this year at home on that floor. Everything is at stake. And against a team, against a Laker team, that you know how the building is going to look. Everyone can say, yo, I bet not see any Laker fans in there. You know you're going to see quite a few. It's going to be on ESPN. Everybody's going to be watching. People have now have they're putting their stock back into the Pelicans. Everything is there. Will they finish this? Will they finish something as you're going into the playoffs? Because you can't, championship teams finish. Teams that go past a first round or win a round or two, they have to finish. This team, they've done a lot of finishing in the clutch. They've exercised some demons over the past, week. Mm-hmm. Now you have an opportunity to do it for your season. And it could be huge, like you said, I think, beyond, just this game when you're talking about, you mentioned long-term investments.
I mean, for Willie Green to be in this position, to be the first coach, he's already locked up a third straight postseason in some form or fashion. But for him, there have been these questions. He's not a dude who's had an extension announced. If there has been one, they have not announced it or anything. So for him, like you said, there's something on the line for everybody. And it's different for different guys. The question, the immediate question, I think, before we get into some of the things from last night, the BI question, knowing that he's been upgraded to questionable, no longer doubtful or out, but questionable at this stage, meaning he'll be a game time decision. They'll let him run up and down the court and see how he feels. BI's mentality now, because there was the same thought. Here we were last season going down the stretch where there was no Zion. And the question was, Zion going to be available for the play-in? And if Zion coming back, how would he adapt to what was going on? Because B.I. and Trey at that moment were riding a heater. Trey was putting up 20 plus every night. B.I. was giving you almost triple doubles on a regular basis as they closed the season straight. For B.I. now, there's been criticism of his game. And I think a lot of it is deserved in some ways. I think it's not a, I don't think it's as negative as some people want to paint it. But for him, coming in at this, if you're going to come in knowing that he's also struggled sometimes in his first game back, making sure the ball movement continues, making sure the defensive intensity continues, particularly against the Lakers. If you slow down the pace against the Lakers, you're making the game easier for them. I think B.I.'s ability to do that is something that a lot of people are going to be paying attention to as well.
Yeah, I mean, his ability to really, at this point, I've heard a lot of great players grow up that through many documentaries of teams that have, season reviews, season recaps, teams that have won championships over the history of the league, talk about certain periods that they got a chance to reflect while being injured, while being hurt. And maybe not when we're talking about just a season, a season injury, but a couple weeks, a month, something clicks, something changes in their absence, and they're able to vision, okay, well, now this is how I can fit this time. This is how I can fit and not disrupt. I can enhance by doing this. And sometimes you can only really get that perspective and that view by being on the sidelines and not having the opportunity to really be out there versus being out there game to game, day to day. We don't know if we get this level of Zion Williamson. We don't know if we get some of these lineups that we've been seeing lately where they just completely go small with Trey, Zion, Dyson, Herb, and whether it's CJ or Jose Alvarado. We don't know if not necessarily we see them, but they work. And they've been working. They've been working. They've had a specific lineup they've been able to go to as of late that have wrecked teams, that have turned around games. He's seeing, you can see what CJ has got going. And this late in the season, right? There was a period where CJ looked a little gassed. He looked, you know, I started to wonder, and I think I said it a few different times that I wondered, you know, he didn't look to have that same burst that as a guard of his size has to rely on at some point when we're talking about separation and being able to create. Didn't seem to be there. The shooting element, the shooting production was, you know, one good half, one bad half. You wanted to see him kind of put it all together, and then boom, a week later we're here. We're talking about meaningful game after meaningful game after meaningful performance. 7 threes one night, 9 the next, and now he's a single season 3-point holder for the Pelicans. So he's cooking at the right time. We're seeing what we mentioned already what Zion is doing. What can he – Brandon has the opportunity now to look at it and say, all right, I see what's working for these guys. I can be a puzzle piece. I don't have to be the puzzle. I don't have to be the box. I don't have to do a bunch of different lifting. Maybe I can, step in here. Or I can be a part of a lineup here when the offense goes through some lows to go ahead and get a bucket. But – he has to be thinking with everything that's at stake. And really what we're talking about is sacrifice. And it's some things in which he's mentioned as well in some articles and some things that's been released post All-Star break, learning how to win, learning how to be a winning player. I've seen some of those things happen defensively, but that isn't the thing that I think is going to make or break this team. You know, we're talking about a starting lineup that's statistically, and when you look at some of the deeper numbers, the advanced metrics haven't been really good. Some of that has to do with fit. Some of that has to do with choice. Some of that has to do with freedom and the way that the ball moves. This team in this absence, they've had some great individual plays, some great ISO plays throughout the stretch. But when they're playing defense, rebounding, moving the ball and getting on the run and playing with pace, that's when they've been able to take over games. That's when they've been able to get together and put out really big leads. Brandon has had the opportunity. He has the chance to witness that from the sideline. Now he gets to bring that back. And that may mean that, okay, his favorite way of playing may not be what's conducive to what's it going to take to win a game like tomorrow, to possibly have to match up with Denver in a seven game series, or Minnesota or Oklahoma City. I think it's a really good opportunity for him, specifically if he's healthy, if he's 90 to 100% healthy. It's a perfect opportunity for him to rewrite a whole new narrative of himself and show a different level of individual growth that a lot of us, including myself, still question when it comes to the long-term piecings of this team when trying to build a winner.
Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, they need him physically against the Lakers. Najee Marshall, even if he comes back, if you're talking about a shoulder injury, again, that's something that you don't want to, that, you know, that's something that's tough to deal with when you're going to be banging against the Lakers, who have a lot of size. And you don't know if Larry Nance, who has missed the last couple games for personal reasons, I don't want to speculate as to whether or not Larry will be available. But even then, you're an undersized team going against anybody. The Pelicans are undersized for the NBA. They have a lot of very similar guys. I posted stats on the statistics for this team when they're missing particular players. And it shows that, by and large, to me, what it ends up showing is the reason that they don't do well when CJ's not there is because CJ's the only volume three-point shooter you have at the guard position. So, yeah, you take away a guy who over the last four games has been averaging almost 12 attempts from three and more than seven makes, and on the season is the leading three-point, you know, per game shooter in the league. Yeah, the team suffers. It is pretty much fine if one of the wings is gone, because for a short period, they're all pretty much replaceable amongst themselves. You know what I mean? Like, obviously Zion and B.I. are of a different level, but you take Dyson, you take Najee, you take one of those guys, it's not as much of an issue for night to night. You've never had to deal with not having Jonas, which is, again, every Pelican owner should be thankful that you have this dude who has missed three games in 3 years. He's missed three games in 3 years. Like, you're the one person who showed up through all of this is Jonas Valanciunas. And the reason, and then when they struggle, particularly when Jose is out, that Jose isn't valued. He is, but Jose also has limitations. But the thing that Jose is, he's your only other ball handler. So we know what the weaknesses of this roster really are. And for B.I. to be available against a team like the Lakers, which has size, which is going to try to use LeBron to physically dominate, AD to dominate, Austin Reeves is going to try to get in the paint a lot. You need that length that B.I. provides, and you're going to need his passing and his creativity at times, his shot making when things get difficult in the half court. But like you said, those main thing for him is always, are you going to take enough threes? Just enough. Again, it's not about him being – he doesn't have to be Steph Curry. He doesn't have to be CJ. But he's got to keep the defense honest. He's got to make them respect the fact that he's going to take good threes regularly in the offense, not just when he's feeling it. He's got to take them within the motions of the offense.
Yeah, girl, because I feel as if the Pelicans are – they're missing a creator. You mentioned a ball handler. But they're missing another creator, and a really good one, one who's an exceptional passer for his size and can walk down to a good majority of the spots that he wants to get to, can get to the rim, can rise up, can shoot over each shoulder, and you just look at what they're going to be matched up against. The way that the Lakers are set up, you got 3 to 4 creators that are going to be available, right? You got D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, LeBron, and AD. And then beyond that, if you pass, you win tomorrow, the Nuggets, you're going to have to see Jokic, Murray, Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon for some stretches. You're talking about, if it's not them, it's Oklahoma City. You're talking about SGA. We're talking Chet and J-Dub. I think for the Pelicans, and I hope that this absence hasn't blinded, even part of, this has been a fun stretch, and it's been, it's been fun watching Zion kind of dominate and take over games this kind of way, learning himself how he can close games and pull up jumpers and so on and so forth. But every team that they are going to have to face has either two really dynamic creators, or they have a multitude of them that they can throw out there at any time, and one that you would depend on that they pay to be consistent. The Pelicans are going to need Brandon. So that's not the question. That's not even, but I think for BI, it's more so how do I use my skill set and give them what they need without disrupting things. And you mentioned 3-point shooting. I think that can be, that's puzzle piece kind of fitting. He's going to have his opportunities to ISO. He's going to have his elbow looks. He's going to have his pinch post opportunities. He's going to be able to run off curls to the free throw line. All those things will be available, because he is something. You're going to get into these games where you're going to need a guy who can put together some of the type of shots that he can put forward. I think you're asking a lot out of CJ McCollum. On these, like, you talking back-to-back games of 40 minutes. He's going to play 40 games tomorrow. I'm sorry, 40 minutes tomorrow, unless it's a blowout. You need those fresh legs, and you need a guy with his ability. They just got to figure out what has been one of the questions since the beginning of the year, since this team really got together. What does it look like when it all fits best?
And I think we've seen that, yes, Brandon is willing to score less. We've seen he's willing to do it. And again, it's just how do you pick your spots and where do you take your shots? And I'd also love to see him attack the free throw line more this year. That has been down, his free throw rate. And it shows when he's on the floor, the Pelicans, two areas that go down significantly relative to his ability. Free throw rate and three-point rate both go down. And we've seen over these four games, it's not – I don't want anybody to confuse me with somebody who just thinks getting them up is the thing. But you're seeing how they've been manufacturing their outside looks as of late and who they're manufacturing them for. It's the right guys taking these shots. It's the right guys taking them from the right place. And I think you're seeing them come out of rhythm. They're not forced threes to get to 40 attempts. We're seeing the Pelicans get to 35, 36, 37 attempts a night because they adjusted. The first four games during that homestand, those five games during that homestand, it was really hard for them to create three-point opportunities. these have not been easy teams that they've gone up against. Not all of them are the great defensive teams, but still, for the Pelicans to be around 38 attempts on a regular basis for a four-game stretch, we've not seen this, and it's the rhythm of it. And again, the right attempts. Trey taking 11 attempts a game, and CJ taking 12. That's 23 of your attempts coming right there. If Brandon is taking four attempts a game regularly, we know he can be a consistent 40% shooter. We've seen him make 40% of his threes on a regular basis. If he's taking four to five a game within the flow of the offense, I think it makes the Pelicans so dangerous.
And I think it's just about, like you mentioned, just shooting the right ones, shooting the open ones. It doesn't have to be anything that's forced. You know, I think what's working for the Pelicans is that they're finding the open threes, and there isn't any hesitation. You know, there certain guys are adapting to what the game has called for. Just the evolution of the game, of this game that we're in right now, has called for. And, you know, I mean, that's huge. You know, you watch Sacramento, you watch Golden State in both of those games. The reason that those games for a period, you saw runs by both teams for a decent stretch, because, you know, the Warriors and Kings, they don't stop shooting threes. They don't stop finding ways to find open three-point shots. They just don't. And I think one interesting element for the Pelicans, you know, that I would think about is, man, just get to the fourth quarter. Get to the fourth quarter, because when you get to the fourth quarter and things slow down at that moment, you'll be able to play a more traditional pace that feels at home to you in regards how the game is played, the things that are being called, the spots that are open, the opportunities that are there. Just get to the fourth quarter, as far as I'm concerned. Like, that's been one of the biggest things for Zion, his second halves over the last stretch. And it's been a lot of others in the first half, CJ in particular, Trey Murphy, of course, kind of carrying earlier, you know, in the first half, Jose Alvarado in the Phoenix game in the first half, stuff like that. You can get through by finding or taking the right shots, picking the right spots, picking the right selections, whatever the good shot is, not passing them up. And then I believe once the fourth quarter's there and teams are tired, and you know, it's a reason that Zion's gonna get layups in the fourth quarter that he won't get in the first. It just is. It's the element of the type of style that he plays, and that type of force that he ask a defender to have to be ready for, possession after possession after possession after possession. The same thing can be available, I think, for Brandon Ingram in the spots that he loves, specifically when you have the kind of weapons that this team has when they use them and they're firing on all cylinders. When you're distributing it, everybody's getting an opportunity to do something. Jonas may not need, he doesn't need 15 shots. He may not even need 10. But you got to at some point feed the big fella and have him be involved. You get Trey Murphy his opportunity to get, his 8 to 12 shots. You get you get Herb. Herb, he'll finish a game with two shots. But you give him an opportunity to shoot a few. Jose Alvarado, CJ McCollum is going to get his. And then the fourth quarter comes, all that shit's out of the way. The guys who can go out there and get a bucket, specifically in playoff basketball, we've seen it over and over again with whoever has won. That's what it comes down to. And the good ones to the great ones, they find a way to make it happen. I just think for this team, it's just getting to that quarter. Because, I mean, the numbers say, I think as of, like, still, right, they have not won a game when trailing going into the fourth quarter, correct?
Right. 0-22. And statistically speaking, Brandon's toughest scoring quarter has been the fourth. And I think it's because – not because he's not it's not because he's the kind of player he is. It's the kind of shots he's chosen to take. So earlier in the game, he's expending that energy working to get those one-on-one opportunities for himself. In the fourth quarter now, when it's tighter, like you said, and the possessions are less frequent, the tempo is slowing down, it's automatically more difficult to score. But if you're slowing it down even further by not keeping that ball motion going, by not cutting and screening and getting yourself those open looks and making it easier for yourself and getting to the free throw line, You know, I think that's why the Pelicans have struggled as a unit to close. It's who's going to take the shot and where. And I think B.I. looking now, seeing how Zion is choosing to close in these games and how CJ is and Trey, how where they play off of him in that time, I think. And Willie is learning, too, how to manage what he wants offensively in that stretch. So I think that it's been a learning process for Willie, too. And I think he's finally – for a lot of people, it's looking like the Borrego offense you wanted to see. It's not, again, it's not about the number. The goal of 40 does not mean they got to get to 40 every night. It's, are they coming because the ball is moving? And I think that's what we saw. And that was so exciting about watching these last four games is that, yeah, there were some dead periods. There were some times when it didn't look great. But for the most part, the team stayed committed to those things. As a group, you didn't see somebody bail on it and say, I'm going to do something different. And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're CJ, Zion, Trey, or the last guy off the bench, you got to stick with what the game plan is. You cannot freelance this shit.
100%. You watch CJ in that first quarter, couldn't make anything. Couldn't make a floater, couldn't make a layup, couldn't make threes. The same shots he missed in the first quarter, he started making in the second. Because he stuck with the process. He trusted what, you know, eventually the odds are going to come in my favor. We've heard CJ talking. We've watched him over his career to know the confidence that he plays with. And he's earned it because you can tell the work that he puts in behind it for it to match the production. And I think one of the things that's also going to be really big for this team and Brandon's return, Grubb, is, you know, their best stretches, their best runs have been getting stops, getting rebounds, and then getting in transition. They have overwhelmed some really talented teams just by simply rebounding, going, getting in transition. And next thing you know, they're up by 8, they're up by 10 points. All of their games, while, you know, and the 3-point shooting and some of these stops that we've seen, a lot of times for them, they go hand in hand. You know, you mm-hmm. watched a lot of Jose Alvarado's most important threes that he hit, or he's been hitting since he's come back from injury. You know, look, a lot of them have been in transition outside of the Phoenix game. You know, but I think, you know, for this team, we know how special Zion is in transition off of a rebound or whether, you know, he gets a hockey pass. We know how, you know, I think Herb Jones is really good. The numbers say he's been elite in transition this season. We know, I think, you have the right pieces when if a guy like Dyson Daniels is out there, his opportunity or his mindset is built on using his transitional advantages to find the right basketball play, whoever that's for. And I think for them, man, that's – I'm curious when Brandon comes back or if it is tomorrow – how that continues. That's something that's been really important for these guys. We talked about these small lineups, and even outside of them, somebody else has to step up in rebounding. Herb has to grab more rebounds. Zion has to grab more rebounds. I think the list has went on and on. And while they still have had sectors or issues in which they've given up multiple possessions, they've gotten the ones that they've needed to get. And when they go on these stretches, when we're talking about large runs, it starts not only them getting stops and them getting the rebounds. I'd like to see, as I expect them, because Brandon was playing some minutes at the five when his team was searching to see what would work and what wouldn't. They were closing halves with Herb, Brandon, Trey, Zion, and CJ. But once you eventually get back to that, can that kind of pace continue? And I'm very interested to see what his presence is going to bring from that as this team continues to try to build off something that's been very important in them going on runs and them kind of getting separation in games lately.
I mean, one of the best Pelicans five-man lineups is Herb, Dyson, Zion, Trey, and B.I. That five-man group, it is effective offensively and defensively, and you can see why. You have a lot of interchangeable type players. You have two guys who can put pressure on the ball And Dyson, and I continue to say this, and our man Lito has come around to it too, and a lot of other people are seeing it too. Dyson is the best one-on-one defender on the roster. Herb Jones is the most complete defender. But there is no one, I think, that people fear. Like, I think other guards fear. Don't want to deal. No one wants to deal with Dyson at 19, 20 years old, one-on-one with the ball. You don't want to do it. He's going to get his hands on that basketball some way, somehow. And him, again, we got to talk about his development on both ends as well, because not only is he becoming a better team defender as well, but his scoring, his shot selection, his aggression, he's shooting 40% from three during these last four games. He's shooting 50% from the floor overall. There are some shots that he still is passing up because of some hesitancy. But more often than not, you're seeing the fear start to go away. Last year, he wouldn't have taken any of these shots. Mm-hmm. Now, he's giving you six boards a night, and he's giving you four assists. He's not turning the ball over. Mm-hmm. All those things, as a he is not a point guard, but as a 2, 3, 4, 5, small ball five even, Dyson is as versatile and dependable a defender as this team has.
So I want to start here, Grubb, and I'm gonna show some love to a friend of the show, Cheddar Chaz here. He was the first person that I remember having a conversation with about Dyson, what Dyson would look like in some situations as a four or a five. And I couldn't see. I wasn't there at that early in his career. I thought he still needed to gain some weight. I knew what he was as a rebounder. And even if you had told me, okay, we're really going to start to see it in year three, I didn't think it would be as early. And, you know, some of it is just by desperation and this team trying to find different ways to create advantages. Mm-hmm. But the first time you really... It wasn't just the Phoenix game, but you're watching him guard Nurkic in the post for multiple possessions. Then you're watching him versus standing in the corner offensively saying, all right, well, the soft spot is at the free throw line. I'm going to continue to meet here, and they're either A, if they're going to leave me in a corner versus me taking the shot they want me to take, which I will eventually take again, I'm going to get some buckets here. It's just, I think, man, not only is it the confidence, Grubb, it's the intensity as well. I think the intensity defensively, you know, small things. You know, a lot of people talked about the situation that him and Devin Booker had. But, you know, hey, man, I mean, that's somebody that at that period of time, it's three straight games scoring 50 on you. No, you're not supposed to allow him to just push Zion Williamson out the way. Yeah, you're supposed to be the guy that steps in Devin Booker's face. You're one of the guys that's had a piece of his 50, you know, in these games that have been played. So small things like that. And then, you know, man, I think that with Dyson, you get an opportunity to see him eventually become intimidating when he brings intensity. And intensity doesn't mean that he has to be obnoxious. It doesn't mean that he has to be even super vocal. It's just simply playing with a little bit more edge, a little bit more aggression, because the stops are going to take, they're going to show themselves what he did to Klay Thompson on one possession. And then what he does to Steph Curry on the next, a couple times he stole the ball or got a couple key deflections against Steph Curry. The game prior, he has who he's always played well, De'Aaron Fox, but him navigating through screens. Ben Pfeiffer talked a lot about just how we notice all the different things that Dyson may not do well. Some of those things are glaring, but he does so many of the things that don't jump out when we're talking about from a fundamental perspective defensively, that makes him just incredible on that side of the ball. And he may not be the one that ends with the turnover or the block or the steal, but him being able with his already solid skill set, solid size, IQ, balance, strength, but him being able to play solid team defense to go in with his switchability, all these different things at the point of attack, off ball, whatever you need, it just makes a, you know, a defensive gumbo that is the perfect the perfect teammate for a guy like Herb Jones. We talked a lot about what they can do individually, but in the beginning of the season, you know, we were talking about what they were doing together when Dyson was starting and the pressure that it took off Herb. That's something else with Dyson, man. Like, you know, while Herb has been spectacular, we haven't had a bunch of opportunities since he's been in New Orleans to really talk about who's helping him. There hasn't been a rim protector since Herb has been in New Orleans, right? Yeah. You have some really good scrappy defenders and some good effort guys and some tough guys, but Dyson was the first, and he's really, you know, the only real guy that's made to defend the stars of this league. That helps Herb being able to relax. That keeps Herb out of foul trouble. So that side of the ball, I think it's been fantastic. And offensively, man, it's just taking the shots that are there. It's what we've been talking about. It's not passing them up, shooting them with confidence, not thinking about them. And even when you do think about it, like one of his threes he hit in Sacramento, he hesitated a little bit, but he knocks it down. And even some of the misses, he goes up for a floater late in the fourth quarter against Golden State. But the shot clock is down. He could have passed the ball back to CJ and said, all right, yo, you figure it out. No, he takes the attempt. Yeah, right. He takes the attempt. It's short, but then that ends up giving him an offensive rebound, and I believe that turns into Trey Murphy hitting a three, which was a big possession. Just not being afraid of the moment and having the guys out there having to respect you, and that just doesn't mean having to be a good three-point shooter in the corner.
It's like having, for the old heads, I'll say, it's like when you had Jordan and Pippen, quite frankly, at the top of your defense. Other teams could not get the ball to their scorers. That was the thing. And with Herb and Dyson on the floor at the same time, you made Steph Curry work. You made Klay Thompson work. Like, the stuff does not go the same. When you talk about guys who are used to in an era that encourages freedom of movement, the two of them are long enough and strong enough to deal with guys who are fast. Like, that part, like, fast guys are usually at advantage in this league. The long guys aren't fast enough. The guys who are small aren't long enough. You have two guys in Dyson and Herb who have the ability, like you said, who can guard 1 through 5 in some occasions. And with Dyson, what you have is physically more strength than what you get out of Herb. You also have a guy who's less pinned. Like, Herb's one thing, the only one thing on defense that you wish Herb would do is get into foul trouble. Dyson never gets into foul trouble. Like, never. It never happens. So it's like his maturity on the defensive end is so high. That if you have this guy develop offensively, which I think he can, the shot looks good. The 3-point, if he's a 40%, if he does what Herb does from the corner, and you see with that size, we know he's been working on his mid-post game as well. We see it when he goes down to Birmingham. We see it in the summer league. If he becomes a guy in the second unit who you can trust to score some points, not your leading scorer, but you know he's going to give you 8, 9, 10 points every night off the bench, then, man, you got something in both of those guys for the long haul at really reasonable deals.
Yeah, I mean, and they're guys that can fit in, you know, they're interchangeable. You know, you can run any kind of set, you know, any type of system for them. Like, they can fit any type of setup around any kind of player, because they're going to make the best players on any basketball team's job easier. You know, they're not trying to get in the way. They're not looking to score 30 points a night. They're not looking to get 10 assists a night. They don't need the ball to be effective. For them, it's been about when you do have the basketball, not being some kind of a threat, you know, not being a throwaway, not being someone that you can ignore. We saw Herb go through those stretches last season, and then slowly towards the end of the year start to figure some things out, and he's carried that over into this season. And it's been the same with Dyson and some of his bad games. But just simply being a threat and knowing the shots that teams want you to take, the shots teams will live with, and knowing how can I you know, Dyson does a solid job, even though sometimes, you know, he will get caught up in the air on drives. just a simple movement with the basketball and getting one person a step out of position can open up shots. I think he's one of the better guys when he's dribbling the basketball, of angling himself to having a great vision between the rim and the corner, because he knows that, you know, the shot that you're looking for, the easiest three pointer that you want in basketball is that corner three. Does a really good job at that. And at worst, you get a chance, you get a swing. It just, the IQ is there. And I think sometimes it just really starts with confidence in your game and knowing, man, you know, some of these things are elementary. You've been doing them your whole life. You know, you're putting in the work, you're putting in the time, you're putting in the practice, and you're playing around some really good, talented guys. Because we know defensively, man, the difference in that game, the previous game against Phoenix and against Devin Booker, was, like you mentioned, like, the Pelicans just look to just make things more difficult for Devin Booker. Jose Alvarado being out there, there was a stretch where, you know, Jose was the primary defender for Devin Booker, not because he was going to shut him down, but just simply to make his life harder. And when you can do that, when you have guys out there that can do that, when Dyson can do that, you're not stopping Luka Doncic from doing what he's going to do. You're not shutting down, you know, Devin Booker or Kevin Durant. You're not shutting down LeBron James, more than likely. But can you make them work? Because you should feel like, more times than not, with the things that you do well and some of the talents that you have, that in the fourth quarter, you're going to be right there and you're going to have as good of an opportunity as anyone to put a game away with some of the things that you're learning and figuring out, hopefully. So I love what Dyson is doing, man. And, you know, I hope that he continue to build on it. But I think the best part of it about it, he's doing it in these games, to where teams wonder, to where a lot of us wonder, like, what did that look like for Dyson? If he just sit in the corner, if he just ignored, is he just forced to just make threes, or does he become Andre Robertson? Like, what does he do? No. Some of the things is moving off the basketball, getting to some of his favorite spots, and just taking the shot that's available. Even if that ends up in 6 to 8 points, that 6 to 8 points can become crucial. Because for him, you know, 6 to 8 points for him might feel like 16 some nights.
Yeah. Let's pause and give Willie Green his credit, though. We have talked a lot about the players, but Willie, who is probably the most scrutinized coach, maybe, you know, for a guy who's winning as much as he has won more games each season he's been in New Orleans, has gotten, you know, has finally gotten to see his team together for the majority of this season, with Zion playing the most games of his career, with Brandon playing the most games, even with him missing the stretch, since his rookie season in the NBA, to getting another full season of CJ and Jonas, and a full season pretty much with Herb. You got to see this starting lineup together more than 60 times now. What have we learned about Willie Green in year three? And what have you been most pleasantly surprised about?
I think if you talk to people that talk about Willie's DNA and Willie's background, and you remember how Willie was as a player in regards to being, you know, to being a tough guy, maybe not an enforcer, but someone who really had to work, that had to grind, that had to go through adversity, that had to fit in and had to do some of the dirty work, even as a guard position, to stay in the league as long as he did. I think that any team that has the road record that the Pelicans has, they have to have some level of that DNA, of that personality that matches their coach to be able to do it. You know, you're used to your role players and everything just feeling better at home. And it feels like with this team for this season, when you look at the way that their ability to respond after some embarrassing losses, you know, the next time when their number is called, when you look at every time you were ready, or you've been ready to kind of count them out or throw the season or kind of put them in a box, they turn around and they do what you don't expect them necessarily to do. And I don't know if you're able to do that if you don't have a coach or a staff that those guys haven't tuned out, that those guys are grabbing something from, that are still listening and still playing for. So I do think that, you know, I mean, listen, I still worry and wonder about how quick and how well, how confident can you be in Willie's ability to manage a full healthy roster just based off of, I think, some stubborn characteristics that he can have, just loving certain players in certain lineups that may not be fitting for the particular time. Can he push the right buttons and can he do it immediately? Or will he pull the plug too early on certain things? Just that balance of being able to manage and just knowing when is the right time to make the call. The center position has been a really good example of that. But I think if I had to say this season, man, you've seen a lot of different players contribute. You've seen Jordan Hawkins contribute. You've seen Matt Ryan contribute. The Sacramento Kings game, you see Cody Zeller contribute with Larry Nance being out and Cody Zeller having a really good quarter. He only scored 2 points, but just knowing that versus going back to JRE, knowing that Cody Zeller would give you something different that you maybe needed in that moment. I think it was a great call. It was a great move. JRE is another guy that you've seen. And yes, some of this is because of injury, but you've gotten meaningful, I think, contributions from kind of all those guys at some point this year. Well, that tells me that, you know, you are helping these guys stay ready. I'm hearing, you know, I read an article about, you know, while, you know, I think Brandon Ingram was talking about how a lot of teams don't practice as much in March. But Willie's making them practice to keep them sharp, to keep them involved here. And I just look at, you know, some of the instances where the team has responded where it doesn't fit what we're used to with this team. We talked about the traveling issues that they're having now, but they had those against, I think it was a road game going to Indiana. And while they didn't end up winning the game, they made it a game when the game could have been over at halftime. That tells me something. Some of the, you know, they had a win in Minnesota earlier in the game around the time when Minnesota hadn't lost a game at home. They hadn't lost back-to-back games. The Pelicans won a second night of a back-to-back. You look at them being on the second night of a back-to-back yesterday and playing the way that they play. Some of the scheme adjustments, specifically defensively, that you're witnessing from quarter to quarter that doesn't get talked about enough, I think has been really, really good. I think the staff in total put together a really good game plan against Phoenix and how they would attack them and attack the space that was being given. So the most redeeming factor, Grubb, I would say, is that some of these things make me feel confident about a playoff matchup and a playoff series because you're seeing the same team consistently. And you're seeing, you know, teams that they may embarrass you one game and you got to come back to the next game. And you're going to have to adjust. And it can't just be, well, we can't figure it out. This team has responded, I think, very well in unlikely situations or games environments. The Orlando game, Brandon Ingram goes out. They make it a game. They end up going out the next night. They got to play Miami. In Miami, they go out and they win that game. From Najee to Jose, and some of these guys have had their issues with Willie over time. Wow. We've seen Jose Alvarado and Willie Green get into it twice this year, at least by my eyes. But it's not stopping the way that Jose Alvarado has been playing as of late. A lot has been talked about with Willie Green. You know, you and I know this personally about Willie Green and Trey Murphy's relationship last year and, you know, in his rookie year. That's gotten a lot better. That means that Willie Green is taking some kind of strides. He may not be everyone's favorite, and Lord knows, do I have my days where if I, you know, he's not 100% my favorite. I probably would wish that he cursed a little bit more. I probably wish that he was more animated, but when you look at the fiber of this team, when you look at the story of this season and some of the things that they've responded to, even if Willie isn't the tactician that you might wish he would, you know, was, or you wish he was less stubborn in certain situations with guys he just wants to go to and rely on no matter what the situation calls for. This team hasn't quit, right? They fought. And since day one, Willie Green's got into New Orleans, and you listen to any kind of press conference, what does he always talk about? Fight, force, intensity. Pelicans are bringing that. And I think that says a lot. And that goes beyond just the way a lot of guys are sacrificing and really playing for each other. I don't know if you could do all of those things and not have at least a above average to good coach in that locker room.
We have improved very much from last year to this year in coming back after a loss. Like last year, I think they were barely a 500 team, essentially, coming after a loss. This year, they have been almost a 60% team, more than a 60% winning percentage the game after a loss. So, yeah, that is a sign that your coach is getting you not to linger on things. You're able to move on. He still needs to be protected from himself. I agree. Roster wise, that's on David Griffin. Like David Griffin, like, you know, you put this roster together and gave him some of these duplicates and things like that. You gave him too many of the same toys to play with. So he likes them all. Like, I mean, you give the dude seven, you know what I mean? Like if you were a kid and somebody gave you seven Optimus Primes or, you know, or whatever, you know, you're going to play with that toy. You're going to do whatever you can with that because that's your favorite. But I think that, you know, the roster construction is something that Willie has no control over. But what I'd like to see in the playoffs, and it leads into our question period. One of the first question from FM Sammy, what is the area the Pels need to focus on to have a successful playoff run? I think, and the second one is tied into that, what does the playoff rotation look like? Who doesn't make the cut? We've seen what 10 players are going to be like in your rotation. It's just how do those minutes fall? But I think it starts, you know your five when they're healthy. You know what the five is. Yeah. You know Larry's going to play in the postseason. You know Trey is going to play in the postseason. You know Dyson is going to play. You know Jose is going to play. And you know Najee's going to play. There's your 10. Matt Ryan's not in the rotation. Yeah. Jordan is not in the rotation. Mm-hmm. Cody's not in the rotation. Not in your main rotation, just like they haven't been all season. Don't be surprised. Like, I think people think that their rotation is going to be different. No, it's not going to be different. The minutes may be different. The distribution of minutes will be different because right now, clearly, you know, again, you want to ride your best players in the playoffs. You want your most minutes to be taken up by your stars. They're not going to play 31, 32 minutes. They'll be playing 36, 38 minutes, you know, during the playoffs. So I think you're still going to see a 10-man rotation out of Willie. But the focus to me is keeping the pace. And it's not just running for the sake of running. It starts with that defensive intensity. As you've talked about, the way that they played these last four games and the way that they played at their best when B.I.'s on the floor too. It's always been defense first. That's our identity. We get stops and we run. And when we do that, it's the Coach Carter thing. If we run, then we can shoot it from wherever we want. Cruz, you want to take that three-pointer you love so much? Take it, Cruz. Then you can do whatever you want, but it starts with the defensive identity of this team, no matter who the matchup is.
100%. You know, I think, you know, and I agree with you with the rotation. I don't think that there will be any surprises in regards to who's playing, unless you're talking about foul trouble. It's just a matter of whose night it's going to be and why. That's always my question, you know. And, you know, will the Sacramento game host Jonas plays 33 minutes, which is rare. It is rare in this economy that we are watching Jonas Valanciunas play 33 minutes, you know, for this team as of late. But the next night he plays 16. I think against Phoenix he may have played, you know, 5 minutes or four, whatever it was. They just realized it just wasn't a night, and it worked. It's just a matter of who and why. Trey Murphy played 45 minutes against Sacramento, and I think he played over 40 again against Golden State. You're welcoming back Brandon Ingram. You hopefully won't need him to play that amount of minutes. Maybe you can get CJ down a little bit in minutes. It's something manageable, but it's really going to be all about how they manage it. You know, is Najee, you know, will Najee play 10 minutes? What game will you choose him to play 15? If you play Jose 22 minutes, one game, what game? They will call for a game where maybe Jose doesn't need to play more than seven. And you got to be able to make that call and just, you know, and stick with it. Those are going to be the things that are interesting because you have dudes that are playing no matter what. Herb Jones is going to give you close to 30 minutes if he's not in foul trouble, you know, and maybe more every game. Zion's going to give you over 30 minutes, you know, over 35 minutes in a playoff setting. The same goes for CJ and Trey Murphy. Those guys, you know, Brandon Ingram, they're going to play those minutes. but it might not be a Dyson Daniels, you know, game. He may really, really, really be struggling, and you may have to pull, from one of those duplicates that you mentioned. And the same goes for Larry Nance and so on and so forth. And yeah, I mean, I'm with you in regards to the pace and what they need to do. When this team, not just when they defend, when they rebound, and they rebound as a gang, as a team, that's been what's so their team defense over this stretch and their team rebound has went hand in hand. The way they communicate, the way they switch, the way they follow the ball, the way they navigate through screens together and communicate who's dropping and trapping. They've been in sync completely, and it's translated to rebounding. Guys aren't jumping into each other. No one's tipping the ball to the next. Trey Murphy said, I'm going up to get this rebound. This is mine. I'm going to grab this. Zion, like, those things are going to matter because with some of these skill sets, they are hell on the run. They just are. There's nothing you can – Zion Williamson alone is hell in transition. He simply is. When you surround him with some of the shooters that he has and some of the size and some of the guys with the skill sets that they have, Trey Murphy pulling from the Chase Center arena, CJ been shooting on the move so much better as of late consistently. They're going to be in trouble. And, I think that some of those half court issues, I think when we talk about that starting lineup, to me, a lot of it has to do with just how they look in the half court when the game is too slow. Well, you want to one way to keep them out of those situations where they have to think and they have to run a regular offense and try to get points against set defenses. Like do what you're great at. Do what makes you a nightmare. What makes you a handful. What makes you overwhelming. Get the rebound and go. And you don't have to worry about as many set plays where the team just, in all honesty, Grub, they revert back to a lot of things what they know most, and that's ISO basketball. You can stay away from a lot of those and a lot of those superhero shot makes and a lot of those individual type of efforts if you spend a lot of time playing solid defense, grabbing a rebound without second chance opportunities and getting on the go. And whether that ends up in a corner three or an opportunity or a layup or free throws, they've been able to take advantage of that. And that's going to be big as they continue to end this season.
I think we've addressed the question about Dyson's minutes. I think he will get minutes in the playoffs. He will play. And no, he's not going to. I don't think. But he's not going to be your point guard. He's not. But I don't. Willie's not utilized him as that. He comes on the floor when Zion or BI is usually handling the ball or CJ in whatever case. But he's a connector anywhere he is. And I think that's, again, when you go back to the genesis of the Dyson draft pick. It was specific in what skills that they were looking for. We didn't realize, as you said, Chaz was one of the very first people, if not the first, to say he's not a guard at all in that sense. He is a wing who is a connector and a rebounder and also a guy capable of playing a small ball four. And I think that's going to keep him on the floor. And you talked extensively and said it really well at the beginning of the podcast. We talked about him, just his ability to find the spots. Like, it's not just standing in the corner. If he sees something in the middle, he'll move to that. He'll flash. He'll be there. And he'll make the connecting pass or he'll try a shot. He's willing to do both of those things. So, yeah, Dyson is in the rotation no matter what. Here's one. Keep the Lakers pick or swap for next season.
Swap.
I think you swap. Yeah. Swap. Yeah, because there's nobody in this draft that is – next draft is the loaded draft. Next year is, again, one – like, it's funny is because a lot of people saying, like, whoever has number one this year is going to be saying, I got stuck between the Wembanyama and the Cooper Flag drafts.
Yeah.
I got that. I got the one right in the middle of that. So – The other two shooting, CJ and Trey shooting lights out. Do you think they maintain this? I don't know. If they get good looks, they go. I mean, all I can say is I think if they get good looks, I trust them to make shots. I don't think they go ice cold unless generally when they both go bad, it's because they're not taking the right profile for them. It's CJ dribbling too much when he's not taking great shots. For Trey, it's he's forcing them because he hasn't taken one. When people forget about Trey, hit on his own team, that's when he struggles.
And you know what, Grubb? That's the talk. That's the beauty in what we mentioned to begin the game. I mean, to begin the show about Brandon Ingram. Like, it does at some point become a numbers game because, to the question that was posed, well, you shouldn't expect CJ's not going to make 8 threes every night. He's not going to make 9, right? Trey's not going to make 6 threes every game. That's not something that's going to be consistent. So you're going to need your others, a couple from Herb, an occasional one from Jonas. Zion took one, you know what I mean? Took two and made mm-hmm. one. The second one looked good too. So if you're able to get a couple made from Brandon, and then you can throw in Jose Alvarado, who's streaky. He might go 5 for 5, or he might go 1 for 5, but you know that he's going to attempt them. We've seen Jose and Nazi off the bench. Both have really good game shooting, and both have really good, really bad game shooting. Brandon is the piece that kind of brings it all together. You know, Dyson Daniels is streaky. Herb Jones is having a really good three-point shooting year, but he's still not a guy that you expect to go out there and make 3 or 4 a game. It's not going to happen. You can't live on it. So if Brandon can give you a night where he hits, where he makes 2, or he makes 3, or he's even putting up enough, then that takes some of the pressure off of Trey Murphy and CJ McCollum to where they don't have to make 8 or 6. Because when they don't, who else is going to make them when you're not playing Jordan Hawkins and when you're not playing Matt Ryan? That's something that I think is missed in this whole Brandon Ingram thing. It's not about, you know, well, I want you to be a different player. I want you to jump out. I want you to be outside your body. No. One of the first things, I gave Chaz his flowers early. I got to give Grubb his flowers here. I never forget this conversation. When Brandon Ingram got traded to New Orleans, me and him talked about Brandon's shot. And I swear to y'all, the first thing he said to me was, I don't think it's anything broken necessarily. He just doesn't shoot enough. I promise y'all, that was 5 years ago. He said, he called that then. Lo and behold, Brandon takes the most threes he's ever taken. What happens? All-star year, best career high in percentage and three-pointers made. I think he made the most for a season by the all-star break in that first year. So some of it is met just off of the fact that you can't put all the pressure on two guys to make all of your threes. You said 23-3. Like, that's great that CJ and Trey, but they are human. They will fail. And when you look around the league and some of these other teams that you are going to play, you know, Minnesota's going to – they're going to have Cat shooting threes. They're going to have Mike Conley shooting threes. McDaniels is going to shoot a few. Ant's going to shoot some. Cal Anderson may take a couple. Like, even if they're not all great shooters, they are going to put them up. And there's some guys that Nikhil's going to take. Like, the list goes on and on. And there's not a team that you're matched with that don't have those same amount of willing shooters to kind of get you to 40 to where it's not all on 1 or 2 or sometimes 3 guys.
I think this is a good offensive rebounding team. You know, like when you have the right guys on the floor, we've seen them. Zion is a very good offensive rebounder. When Jonas is on the floor, he's their best offensive rebounder by far. Dyson has shown he's a good offensive rebounder. Trey has been a good rebounder all season long. Herb, we know, will fight for those things. So I think if you're not afraid to put up those shots, you're still giving yourself an opportunity to get those second chances. And we know the probability of making a 3 on a second chance shot goes way up. Because in our past, as Pelicans observers, fans, whatever, we've watched them be burned by it many a time as well. So it's just that consistency is what you're looking for. And look, if they get into a playoff series, we've not seen this group not only in the playoffs, but without the play-in of that burden. Because even when you were going up against Phoenix, you weren't whole and you had to fight your way in to get there. If they can walk in the door without – you want to play desperate but not be desperate? Like, to walk in and know that this is ours, we earned this. Like, we're going into this series with some confidence. No matter what, they're going to be confident. They're going to also be the underdogs. You're the sixth seed. You're the underdog for a reason. And if you ask whether it's the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, whomever who you end up playing, you're going to have to show that you're going to win some of your own home games that are big. And you're going to have to steal 1 or 2 on the road, maybe. But I say this, as I've said all year long, individually on any night, yes, the Pelicans can beat any team in the league, and they've shown you that. The question is always for this team, are you going to do it repeatedly, consistently? And that's what we want to find out in the postseason. But I think overall, now, what we wanted to learn of the regular season, whether tomorrow will be the final test, but 99% of what we wanted to learn this season, I think those questions have been asked and answered.
And yeah, you know, Grubb, to add to your point, you know, it pays to have an to not be procrastinating. All of us knows what it means to have deadlines, whether it been in school, whether it been at your job. It gives you a certain level of freedom when you know you're not waiting to the end to get something done. When you know that you've taken, you know, while other teams are going to be stressing about travel plans or last minute matchups for Tuesdays and Wednesday games, and then after that you gotta, you know, turn it right back around and get ready for Saturday or Sunday. It just, you know, for once for this team to not have to be in that situation where they have to figure it out at the, it has to be a mad dash. It's been a mad dash every single year. The first year, you know, even without the bubble, they would have been they would have been fighting at the end of the year. You know, they were playing from behind after that, you know, horrific start. You know, with it was similar last year after a breakdown, after a collapse, they're procrastinating. They're trying to figure out a way to. It's so much indecision. There's so many things up in the air. The unknowns. Will Zion come back? Will this happen? Will that happen? And can they play? And then there's the play-in. And the year before that, it's a mad. You're welcoming in CJ McCollum, and you're trying to, you know, just to make a ninth seed or a tenth seed. You finally have the opportunity to not have to worry about any of that. You can turn in your paper, turn in your work a week early. You can walk. You ever walk into a clean house versus a dirty house with clothes? It's, man, you come home from work. Dog, I just want a beer and just put my foot on the table, dog, and do whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot harder to do that when I, you know, ain't clean the night before. My house is messed. You know what I'm saying? It's just Pelicans. It will really pay off if they do some spring cleaning tomorrow against the Lakers.
Finish the job, because look, think about last year. If they had been able to finish the job last year. Maybe, and you secure that sixth seed last year. Maybe we see Zion in the playoffs last season. Mm-hmm. And think about what it could mean if you are getting Brandon back tomorrow or if you're not. Either way, to have the ability to not have to go into a play-in situation and have to maybe win two games before you start the playoffs with B.I. when you can, if he is back tomorrow, you get to evaluate him at a home situation and say, great, man. This is how you look. You played these many minutes. We go right back to our facility. We got some rest before we travel to go wherever we going to start the playoffs. Closing this out, like it all comes to this. So I'm going to wrap it up like this, Chris. I'm going to do like this. Whether you got to pray to the loonies, whether you got to pray to the Jacksons, whether you got to pray anybody that you know, what do you got? Our man, Jared Reed. Whomever. Like, whatever fives that you need that are positive in your life to come to this moment for the Pelicans. This one time. We just ask it. The Pelicans, 1 5-game win streak to change it all. Five gets you 50. The symmetry is just, it's all come to this place. The sun is over New Orleans, the Lakers, it's everything. It's all you could ask as a basketball observer, Chris. This is it. It's all you can ask for.
And that's the it, man. It's the height of competition, man. It's whether you're a sports fan, like, it's going to be electric in the city tomorrow. It's going to be electric in that building. It's going to feel, it's going to be a playoff environment. It's going to, you know, if you're a sports fan, I know, you know, sometimes, you know, it's, you can be anxious and it comes with anxiety watching these moments, but this is what it's built of. It's what it's built for. If you're a competitor, you want these kind of situations and setups to where, like, we have to do this. And you want the Pelicans to be walking in this and saying, there is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. You know, like, you know, like, shout out to Apollo Creed, rest in peace, Carl Weathers. You know, like that's what you want from this team. You want them, sure, right? They in essence, they have three home games where they only have to win one of them at worst to make the playoffs. At worst, they have three home games. If they lose tomorrow, they'll possibly have two more to make the playoffs. But you take care of it tomorrow, and I mean, you can really look back and say, "Yo, we did something," you know, and not just the five straight. You know, we exercised some demons against a team that has embarrassed us a few times. We've embarrassed them a few times, but we know the feelings that come to play when LeBron James and Anthony Davis coming to New Orleans. And they have something to play for. I mean, you know, imagine that. Imagine being able to make them quit, forcefully put them into a ninth or tenth seed with a team like them who, you know, even 50 wins wasn't a goal for them coming into the year. It's a championship. Being able to put them in that type of situation. But for you, 50 wins means something. Five games in a row means something. And doing it the way that you did out of the mud, we can really have some wonderful conversations about this team, I think, going into the offseason, no matter how the playoffs end, because they showed you a little bit about what's in here, you know, in the mind and the brain and what's in their heart. You got enough stories through the regular season, even if it all falls apart or they don't end up succeeding in the first round. But you got to put a bow on it tomorrow. Yep. And please, y'all, I can't show y'all my messages with this man. It is insane. It is insane the abuse that I have to deal with. My cell phone provider doesn't even know. I've thought about blocking David Grubb a few times, but I cannot. Please, I'm begging. Get this over with. Give me this fifth win in a row.
I want it. I want the five. That's been my thing. People think it's a small deal, but no, it is a big deal. It is a big deal because it shows consistency. And that's the one thing to be a winning team. Putting together extended winning streaks means you went through some stuff. It ain't easy to win 5 to 10 to 15 in a row, and great teams get there. And this team is showing you some things. We've learned so much. And this game is, like I said, it would be the perfect bow. Everything you've asked for, you couldn't ask for it to be set up better for drama than this. If we talk about scripts in sports all the time now, whoever wrote this one, you've done a damn good job. Let's see what the last chapter looks like. But Chris, thank you, bro. First and foremost, just thank you again for coming on. I love talking to you just in general. And when we talk about the Pelicans, we always have fun. So follow him at Impatient Bull. Check him out on Boot Crew Media. You know, they do their thing post-game. They do their thing throughout the week. He appears on his show. He appears on other people's shows. He's on the radio. He does everything. Y'all know my man. And you know how to get at me at DM Grub, whatever the platform. And you can chit the bird calls on wherever you get your podcast. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Make sure you like, make sure you comment, make sure you subscribe, most importantly. And until the next time, in the words of my man Preston Ellis, let's go Pels.
You can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade or at least grab an extra latte after getting a Chime checking account with features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, no minimum balance requirements, and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.